This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another show to the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We have actor Mason Gooding. You guys know him from Booksmart. You've seen him on Ballers. There he is, right there. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe it, Bella? Oh, yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they are free. So 220 coming hot at you guys in the So 219. And I'm flanked on my left and on my right by offensive and defensive coordinators Nikki Snacks Kreider and Alex Toss Me the Rock Tassopoulos. And you heard it in the intro. We have actor Mason Gooding joining us on the show today. How you doing, man?
Very good. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, of course.
So happy to have you.
It's a good start to the week, man.
Oh, yeah. Starting off right.
Yeah. I think it's our first time ever recording on a Monday, because you guys know we usually drop our shows on Monday and then Thursday. But we got a fun-packed week starting off with Mason, and we're super stoked to have you here today, man.
I think we're all pretty chipper for a Monday morning. It's not morning, I guess, but feels like it.
In L.A., it's morning.
Yeah.
There's still people sleeping out there right now.
We
had a guest last week, and one of our roommates rolled out. He came at like 1:30, and one of our roommates rolled out like it was room. He's like, good morning.
To the guest.
The guest called him out completely. It's so funny, man. But you're an actor, man. We've seen you in Booksmart. Great movie, by the way.
Thank you.
In Ballers, two different characters, which is great. And now it's post-production for Love, Simon. We're a series regular on a Disney Channel show, man.
It's actually, funnily enough, we just announced it's no longer on Disney Plus. It's now on Hulu.
Wow.
It's titled Love, Victor.
Who is the lead character?
Yes. And I guess that news dropped an hour ago. I only found out because my phone was blowing up, and I was like, oh.
Breaking news, folks.
Hulu's great. Nothing against Disney, because I don't want to, you know, disparage any of these streaming services.
Well, I guess it's all Disney. We all work for the mouse in one way or another. No, you guys are actually Disney property.
No, 100%, dude.
No, but they work as sort of like a satellite system to the greater Disney brand. I think they deal in maybe more mature content, not to belittle the, you know, wonderful content that is on Disney Plus, but Hulu sort of gives a landscape to have maybe more explicit content,
which is great.
And you feel like that's
a lot of fun
after shooting, like it's a little bit more in line with the subject material.
Yeah, it definitely, it allows us to sort of navigate the ideas of like what it is to be in high school without having to worry about making it accessible to a very young audience. Though, you know, a parent can allow them to watch and they'll still get something out of it. But the themes and motifs being tackled in Love, Victor are definitely more in line with some of the stuff they have over at Hulu.
Cool.
That
makes total sense.
Which is great. I mean, to be honest, I was like, oh, wow. I was surprised that that was a Disney show, knowing Love, Simon, the original, the movie.
Yeah.
And now it makes sense that it's on Hulu because you could get away with murder on
Hulu.
It's
called branding.
Book Smart's on Hulu. You're like you're about to come to the face of Hulu. We had a problem the other day. We were we were trying to watch it, and then our Amazon Fire Stick wasn't working. We had to call Amazon.
Josh had a really interesting call with the tech support lady in South Africa.
Yeah.
She was 2 a.m. there. I was so impressed.
They're never in America. It's always all over the place to pick up your phone, but that's okay.
Yeah, and it's crazy like 2 a.m. It's like so sweet. And then she knew what to do, and she's walking. And
super patient.
So, bro, like patient.
Like too patient.
Like too patient with the...
Everyone's asked her, like, how's your day going? She goes, you're not really tired.
It's like to be
dude,
really
that
honest.
Was like a 7 out of 10 impersonation.
That was very good. I was going to say, it was good accent work.
Nick can do a 7 out of 10 impersonation of anybody on the planet. More, no less. Like,
can we test that? Right
he'll. It's like very in the moment.
It's very in the moment.
We usually have an intern that sits right there. He's not here today, and he does McConaughey and he does Jerry Seinfeld.
Really?
Yeah.
But he does them like our intern does them like 10 out of 10.
Oh, 10 out of 10.
Oh, the intern does them. Oh,
he's
but,
not as like.
But he's not as versatile.
Yeah.
Nick's library of accents is like 500 deep. They're all 7 out of 10.
Yeah. Like good enough.
Yeah.
That you're like, yeah, that's it.
That's passing.
Let's not look too far into it. Yeah. Yeah,
so we're at Love Victor. We're at Booksmart. We're at Ballers. That's where we are today. How do we get there? Where do you start? How do you get the acting bug? I think that's the most interesting question that we can really ask and get started with our actor guests.
Of course,
because everybody's different.
Of course, it's one of those things where acting seems as if, especially when you see someone at the height of their career, you go, "Oh, well, it makes sense. They got this movie, then this movie, then this movie, and there they are." But it's actually a lot of. It's funny. I think acting is like the only. One of the only art forms, along with maybe like tattoo artistry, where you can't do it until someone says you can. For example, I could sit in my room and act all day, but it isn't until a director, producer, casting directors allow me to portray a character that they believe fits my persona or something within my range that I'm allowed to do it on a global sense. Because why do we make art if not to entertain or move others? And you could relate that, I guess, to tattooing because I could tattoo myself, but I probably would want to do that with someone else.
Tattoo is like a headshot, man. You got to pay the price for it.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But it's in the beginning, you know, my dad's an actor, so I grew up around the industry and seeing, you know, the type of person that it takes to sort of succeed and navigate that. But I started out playing sports mostly, and I loved that, you know, physical dynamic of having a bunch of guys on a team, guys and girls or whatever, and working together to achieve a certain goal. And I think it was in, literally and figuratively, and I think it was in that that once I got into high school, I had blown out my knee playing football because I was a great big fat boy. And
Dude, me too, baby. Yeah,
look at it all. That's
bro.
So funny.
But like every, once a week, we go to McDonald's and we test. And like
he comes out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You got to keep him intact because he knows what you really want. Yeah. You just have to repress him as much. Yeah. I was big chungus.
Nice.
Big chungus.
Yeah. Until like senior year of high school, I was 300 at my heaviest.
No
way. Yeah, I was a lineman.
Bro, we're seeing pictures after this.
Yeah, no. I actually have a very funny one, but I'll show you.
Yeah.
I was 300, and they wanted me to get bigger and bigger because I thought, oh, I'm playing football in high school. I should probably play it in college. So they pushed me to eat and lift as much as I could.
Yeah.
Little did I know that lifting was only putting muscle underneath the fat. So it just got my number higher and higher. And then I was playing a game against, I think it was, I went to Windward, by the way, down in Mar Vista, a little private school, and emphasis on little. And we played this team, I forget, it was, I think it was called St. Anthony's, I don't remember. But I was running as a defensive lineman. By the way, I played D-line, O-line, linebacker, quarterback some games, running back.
It's a big quarterback.
We had 22 players on this team.
You had
man.
You had to.
You had to, especially when you're as big as I was. It was like I could do something and still make it work because I was so fast. Yeah, and I was running for the quarterback, and I jumped, which, you know, they always say the player that leaves his feet is the one to succeed. And so I jumped. And he pushed me mid-air, and I came down, and I don't remember what happened directly after, but I remember seeing my foot in my face.
Oh.
And I was like, that probably shouldn't be there. And I was on my back, and everyone was like, ooh, oh. And the athletic trainer runs over. He's like, do you think you can walk? And I was like, yeah. And I stood up, took one step, and the loudest snap noise took place in my knee, and I fell back down. And I was like, no, I can't walk.
Nah.
Picked me up, went to the doctor. I tore my ACL, LCL, PCL, MCL, and meniscus.
Oh, my God. Lord.
All five.
Just,
boop, everything you could have torn.
Gone. And the doctor was like, why did you walk? Why did you try to then get to, I was like, I don't know. I thought I
it's
could.
Definitely that fucking trainer who's, no offense to him, but who's probably, it has to be him, because he goes, okay, what's going to happen is this kid, he's going to stand up, he's going to crack his knee, then I'm going to look like a hero throwing this 300-pound dude on my back and carrying.
I think like, this is not the first time we've like ragged on high school trainers before. And no offense to the training profession.
You had a hard go at it the other, a while ago.
With someone else, and I can't remember who it was, but like they just don't really, there's a reason why they're not a trainer for a college team or a pro
team.
You said it.
I love my high school trainers, and they're great people. So, I mean, I played football in Texas.
Listen, don't
so
do that.
Like,
don't do that. That doesn't mean he's not a great guy.
No, yeah. they're also great trainers.
He just wanted to play hero. Yeah, he just wanted to play
my
hero.
My high school trainer was with the Saints and with the University of Miami. He decided to just settle down and be
so
at
he was
high school.
A former professional trainer.
Yeah.
There it is.
The pedigree. He had the pedigree.
There it is. He had the pedigree.
You want to slow things down a little bit. Go to Georgetown, Texas, and get shit done.
He was basically the Will Hunting of trainers. Yeah. He wanted to like take a step back. It wasn't. He didn't want it. He could have, but he didn't want to do it.
He said no.
So you go from 300, then in senior year you crack down, and now you're playing. You know, you're playing Hogs, man.
It's trying to.
Let's
see how that transformation happened. Yeah. So you lost
hoodwinking people. I'm just pulling it back.
I know.
No. It's funny, I only lost the weight because after I had torn up my knee and my doctor was like, you're not playing football ever again. I was like, well, I really like entertaining people. And like I said, I like the idea of working with people to create something or achieve a goal. So I had been in the theater class in my high school. I was like, I really like acting, so I should probably try to do that. And my dad was like, listen, you can totally go for the fat, funny guy thing. He's like, but you're not very funny. So you could try maybe losing a little weight and seeing how, you know, that affects your career and how much you like, which is very good and fair advice, especially coming from him, I guess. My mom was still like, you're beautiful just the way you are.
Moms are like that always.
Shouts out to my mom.
Yeah.
So I started training. I did MMA. Like every other day, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays with Eddie, who is a professional MMA fighter. Shouts out Eddie Jackson. And I lost weight really quickly, especially on the diet he had me on, which was nuts for like a 18-year-old kid. You're eating like chicken and broccoli when everyone else is eating like pizza, but you're like,
right.
Crazy.
It's in the pursuit of a goal.
Yeah.
But, it just ended up being after intense working out and dieting.
And you could jump right, you jumped back into that pretty quickly after the injury, after the major injury.
Yeah, it took, well, I was in a wheelchair for like a month. Yeah, and then eventually I was on crutches. And once I was able to work out, that's kind of, you know, what kept me sane,
right.
Was like exercising. And
great for parking in LA, though.
Absolutely. Except at that point, I didn't even have a license. So
it's
really
a waste of time. Yeah.
But I worked out and worked at it, lost some weight, and then over the course of college, kept up with MMA and boxing and other sort of combat sports, which I do love more than anything. And now it's kind of a mixture between that, dieting maybe a little more intelligently, and sort of moderating like what I'm eating.
Yeah, it's part of your job now. I think people like have to understand, like, those are people who aren't actors, you know, it's why are they so fit? Because that's like, that's like how you book gigs,
big time.
Well, that's why I always feel, I feel bad, but I find it interesting when people look at like these Adonis-esque actors, like Zac Efron looks great in Baywatch, and Michael B. Jordan looks phenomenal in all those Creed movies. When the fact of the matter is, especially when you see them in those scenes, they're dehydrated, they're lit, and they're worked out to an extreme as a day job. So if you go to a 9-to-5, if you work a job where you have to go and do that for a certain amount of time, that's what they're doing, but with exercise and their craft and whatnot.
Yeah, big time.
And so, yes, it is always a feat when people can transform and they can look like Superman or they can do those things. But to beat yourself up over like not looking like that, I definitely did as a kid. I remember Blade Trinity with Ryan Reynolds.
He was shredded
out of his mind. Oh my God. Then as a little chubby kid was like, that's a man.
Yeah.
What in God's name am I? Yeah. It just. And so,
I thought the same thing too,
which it's natural that you see that, and why, especially as a kid, would you disassociate that with like what you should be looking
and
like?
And he's killing vampires
too.
Vampires?
You're like, God, this guy's awesome,
dude. That's I'm with you, man. Like, I'm great for like. I love that my parents used to pump me up, or like my mom used to pump. Mom's always pump you up, and she's like, you could be, you have like the charisma to be Hugh Jackman. I go, bro, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Yeah, you're like, you see him with the knives coming
in
out
in 3 X-Men movies, not just like one dude. That's got like.
Veins bobbing out of places. I didn't even know there were veins.
He's like healing himself, and you're like, not surprised. Like, okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
you can see how that works. How did it work mentally, though? I mean, because there is like that transition of like the way you see yourself as an actor, then you have to present yourself. So now you have to present yourself, you know, as a leading man now that you're into that. Was it like an interesting transition mentally for like kind of viewing yourself in that way and kind of in that actor transition? Because I could kind of relate in a similar sense, because going from like, you know, I would play this guy, I would play the funny or the this and that, and then you drop down, you know, you lean out a little bit, and then you're like the love interest in that, and then it's like a totally different, like, and you, it's a way you never saw yourself as. So like, what was the transition like for you?
Well, unlike me, you're very funny. So that angle definitely probably works.
I'm just Jewish,
for you.
A kid. It's just part of the genetics.
Part of it. Yeah. Like, welcome to the world. Here's your comedy card.
Yeah. You're going to be 5'10", but you have a good sense of humor.
I don't know. I definitely grew up an insecure kid, and that definitely incited a lot of my personality traits. I was loud. I was, you know, brash, and I would, you know, throw my weight around, but it was mostly because I didn't want people to perceive me as being, you know, unattractive or fat, and I thought that those, they're heavy, and I thought those things would detract or keep people quiet from noticing those things. And as I got older, I realized that the best people are not the people that try and force change in themselves, but they try and naturally work on the things that they'd like to be better about themselves. And so I wasn't so concerned with, you know, looking good for other people as much as I was being the best version of myself that I could be.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I would get really frustrated when people would, I'd get scooped all the time. Remember getting scooped?
Yeah.
But
I still get sometimes, and still like, it's like, doesn't, it's not the same effect, but it's still like,
I get triggered. I'm like, oh God. But I was, things like that would happen. I'd get really frustrated, reasonably so, and I would assume it was like my fault almost, that I was like, oh, it's because I'm so heavy and that's why they did that. Well, no, people are going to do that anyway. They're, especially as kids, kids do stuff to get attention.
Kids are fucking mean.
Kids can be mean. That's exactly
right. Coming from their own insecurity,
probably.
From
their own insecurity. Yeah. So as I got older and I sort of gained a little bit of perspective and empathy, I realized that it's not, again, so much like that I did something to make them want to mess with me or do anything. People are just going to be who they are, and you can't necessarily incite that, especially as a kid to other kids. So I figured I'd get in shape. I'd work out. And even to this day, I mean, I still like look at myself in the mirror and have so many insecurities and feel a certain way about it. And I'm sure it's normal.
Exactly. It's normal. Everyone has it. Everyone has
it. I'm sure Ryan Reynolds still has it.
Still, it's like, God, you're just too perfect.
Yeah.
Stop doing so many sit-ups. Exactly. But I mean, I'm happy with who I am, and I hope everybody's happy with who they are. It's just something you hope to strive for. But
yeah. I think it's a good point, though, about like, those guys in the movies who have been training, they've been training so long for those roles. Mm-hmm. And then even before they say action, that morning, they got a workout in.
Yeah.
And they probably have a pair of dumbbells right on the side of the set. And it's like, if you go work out, when do you look best? Right after you work out.
Yes.
Same for them, too.
Or even during.
You're right, exactly.
They do have, I'm trying to remember, on 300, those are some ripped dudes. First of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, they had parts of the set apparently molded out to be like gyms. So between takes, they'd run over, they'd get a pump, and then they'd go back and they'd shoot a scene. And it's funny, as an actor, you'd be like, when do you like act? Like, when do you
pay? Oh, yeah.
But Gerard Butler's great, so
Great.
But
it's so funny. I mean, you go to like, I remember I went to a pool party. I mean, you always look best like right after you pump it in. And like, we were at a pool party last year. Me and one of our roommates, we were going and like, oh, okay, we're stoked for this pool party. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. And like without even saying a word, next thing you know, we're in the living room like lifting weights.
Like, you might as well.
Like, one of us is curling and like doing.
You got
like,
to.
We get like again. So
peak physical performance. That's all that is.
You only do like house dominoes and just like drink drink beer.
See, and then did you guys watch The Witcher on Netflix? I'm a big
Watched. Yeah. Did you like it?
I loved the games. So when it came,
me too.
To the
games are great. The show's
didn't love the show. Did not love the show.
It was definitely different from what I was expecting, especially after being a big fan of the games. Yeah. I love Henry Cavill, so
he's amazing. Yeah,
and he was talking about this scene where he was in the bathtub. Looks great, shredded out of his mind, and he was on a talk show and he was mentioning how you dehydrate, and on the fourth day of being basically depleted of water. You can smell water around you. Like, your body's like, you need that.
Yeah.
Find it. And he,
he's like sitting in it.
He's like sitting in it. He's like, I should just drink this bath water. It's that, as an actor, I get it. I respect that. But I'm like, I don't know if people like notice the difference between, like, oh, that guy's definitely had water in the past 3 days. Yeah. That guy.
Crazy, yeah.
But
the extent
what do you think of his hair?
When I saw the first images, I definitely thought it looked like, those old like porn videos where they would be like fantastical? I don't watch those.
The Hills Have Thighs?
No, The Dark Meat Rises.
I'm taking that one.
I was right off the top too. And it looked fine when I was watching the movie, in the actual show, but the stills beforehand, I was like, oh, that's going to look silly.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
Yeah.
It worked. I think it's silly.
I don't know. I just think I've
seen see him like that. He's always got like the nice macho haircut.
And we just had
Superman.
We had such flawless makeup work in Game of Thrones like prior. And like, no, I know they're very different, but I'm kind of looking. It's like a similar world in a similar realm.
Yeah.
And we're in such an age. I'm like, this shouldn't look worse than Lord of the Rings, which was like 16 years
ago. You saying that, I'm like, yeah, that is fair. That's a fair.
I look at it as a trajectory. Like, it should be better, more the same.
We should work to improve, especially in an industry.
The fight choreography was amazing. No.
Great. See, I love stuff like that. If it's like fantastic and there's monsters and stuff, I want to feel.
What's like your go-to TV show? I know we'll probably get into that later. Just out of curiosity.
Well, first of all, I loved Fleabag.
Amazing.
I just crushed that. I just crushed.
Incredible. So good.
Andrew Scott is, first of all,
amazing. The hot priest. Oh yeah.
He's amazing.
He got that off. I was like, all right, Andrew.
You ever see Sherlock?
Yes, he's phenomenal in that. The bit with the earbuds.
He crushed it in 1917 too, and I heard that he was actually
In 1917.
He was the most difficult actor to work with on the set. Apparently, he kept on messing up. He can't light his cigarette. Apparently, so they had to keep resetting
the whole tank.
Yeah, this one guy's like the main actor's like running through people, and this guy
and
can't
light a cigarette. He's like, just hold on. I've never done this before.
Yeah.
Definitely love Fleabag. I'm a big anime fan. So I watch like a ton of anime, and I love Dragon Ball Z a great deal, which is like, honestly, the only reason I decided to get in shape in the first place was like
Goku.
Yoked up Goku on screen. I was like,
And that's why you dyed your hair blonde for Booksmart, too.
You know what's funny about the dyeing hair? People are always like, oh, like, what? People are always... some people that ask are like, what, like, so you dyed it for Ballers, and then Booksmart, they were just like, keep it? It's like, no, I actually dyed it for a friend's short film, a mutual friend that we have, and it was blonde when I auditioned for Ballers, and they, I was auditioning for a different character, and then they were like, hey, we have this surfer character, and
makes ton of sense.
He's like, you can, yeah. And I was like, oh, great. So I was blonde for Ballers.
Because it was all blonde.
It was all blonde. Right. It looked like I went Super Saiyan.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once, while I was filming that, I got the audition for Booksmart. And I was like, well, I can't like cut my hair. Mm-hmm. So I went in and I remember Olivia Wilde was sitting with Allison Jones, the casting director. And I was blonde. And they were like, oh, you don't look like that. I was like, I know, I'm working on this. And I, and they were like, all right, well, great, let's do that. And we did it. Like 3 weeks later, they called me back in, and I had dyed my hair black. And the first thing, I was like, oh, oh. Where's the blonde? Yeah, it was like, so like, huh. Oh, you're back to black. And I was like, yeah. But I can like bleach my hair. And they were like, okay, good.
I have it in the car, I'll be right back. Yeah, nobody move.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure Olivia at some point in her career had a head, like her headshot was either like blonde or brunette, and then she came in with the option. I'm sure.
She
got
it.
That happens all the time.
The second Booksmart audition was weird, man.
Really?
Yeah, because, okay, this is embarrassing, but I'm.
Go for it.
In the beginning of my career, like a couple years ago, I would get really nervous before going into rooms for auditions.
Happens.
It's a stressful situation.
Always. All the time.
Exactly. So I would embarrassingly work out right before I left for auditions because that would ease a lot of my, like, whatever, testosterone mess, you know. And I was in my room doing push-ups, like a bunch of them. So my body's, like, tired. It sounds like I'm narrating a porn. Anyway, and
a lot of porn
he's doing push-ups. His body is meek and tired. The sweat glistening off his face.
All right, don't do that. But I stand up, and I took one step and kicked the leg of my bed, which was metal, and split my toe open. It's broken and bleeding, and I am laying on the ground. You know when you hurt yourself, especially like stepping on Legos, stubbing your toes, you don't scream.
Right.
You don't cuss. You just lay there, or you stand there, or you sit there, and you just like contemplate the decision to like move at all. And after 10 minutes of writhing in my own pain, I stood up, wrapped my foot, put ice on it, and I drove to this audition, limping into the room. And of course, that day we were there, Caitlin Deaver, my pride and joy, love of my life, was there reading with me, who plays.
She's great.
She's phenomenal. In so many different ways. Shouts out to you. And I'm trying to look at her. She's very pretty, so it's hard to like focus on my lines as well as like my. And then on top of that, she's one of the most talented people on the planet. And my foot is broken. And we do the scenes, and obviously they mention about the hair, and I didn't honestly do good at all. It was really bad. And then we get to this improv section where she's like, can you guys just like riff as if you're talking about summer? And I was like, yeah, don't mention your toe. Just don't mention your toe. So I just start like, and we're talking in the scene. I'm just like listing and talking about Caitlin and looking at her because she's so good and beautiful and amazing that I was like, just don't think about your toe. Think about her. And once I left and I did it and got called back in the final time, she was like, what I liked so much about your audition last time is you made everything about Caitlin. It was lovely. That's such a loving. And I was like, great.
Yeah. Great.
That is exactly what I did. Yeah. I will take that and I will take that. Thank you very much. And that was by far the strangest like events that took place during what was a
You've never said anything.
Audition.
Do they know now that
They do now.
Yeah.
If they hear that. I mean.
Oh,
I,
wow.
I,
yeah.
I didn't. How do you tell someone that? I was like, because like, it sounds
actually,
like,
my toe was fucked up.
Yeah. I was like, it just sounds like I'm ungrateful. Like, yeah, I only got this because I busted my toe. Yeah.
I'm like, just doing everything not to focus on. That's exactly. Great. Though.
It's too late now. It's on Hulu. They're yeah. watching or not.
But when someone's like giving you praise like that, you know, you're going to take you're it. Like, you're like, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Totally. Now it's after the fact. Yeah, my toe was busted.
I really think there's nothing more painful, though, than like the side, the corner of a bed is the most painful. It can oh
dangerous.
My God.
That
it's
is
dangerous.
Danger in
and a Lego. You're right. A Lego.
Yeah, and Legos.
Lego.
Are, that's a
feet stink on hurting your feet stink on ice.
Which is funny because you put your feet on the ground all the time.
People used to not wear shoes. They used to run around with no shoes.
Yeah,
some people still do it.
We're still yeah. We've been coddled. That's us.
I see at least one person in LA with no shoes on.
Yeah. Every day. Every day. Every day.
Not me. Like, not those me. Feet, I will put two shoes
those
on.
Those feet are desensitized.
We had our
the skin is definitely
calloused.
Low,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had one of our buddies. He was like, we had a Daytona party at Nick's like
yeah.
a week
oh,
and a
yeah.
half ago. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we all dressed up like hicks and just like
good.
Ridiculous. And
good.
Just like, yeah. like booty shorts and like just like.
I love that.
Yeah. And
that's
one of our roommates was, you know, he was dressed like a hick. And we're like, dude. You gotta
take
wear
one
like,
shoe off.
Take one shoe off. And he's like,
the entire
he's like,
party.
The entire
party. One shoe off.
So we're like walking into like the apartment. He goes, and like we're walking through, like, it's not a bad apartment. The it's like, you know, in Santa Monica.
There's a ton of homeless people.
Ton of homeless
people. Of course. So I live right next to a 7-Eleven. So that's like their mecca.
I
they all flock to it.
Yeah,
so we're walking.
Yeah,
I'm not thinking anything of it. All of a sudden, he's walking. I hear him behind me. He goes, oh, my God, I just saw a needle on the floor. And he's
oh,
just like,
well, reasonably so, should be looking
yeah,
out for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, my God, this is a mistake. This is a mistake.
He's getting into character. I
yeah.
like that. He's finding the truth.
Yeah, truth what it is. The, how,
and then
what
we went to the bungalow, and he kept his shoe off.
Yeah, which
you
is
you guys went to the bungalow with your shoe?
Well, so, I mean, the Daytona 500 got canceled, and so one of the guys at the party – I guess he made, you know, a significant amount of money on stock trading. Was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a table for all of us. So we all roll up in
so
our
all of us
gear.
Actors were like, you got it? Yeah, okay, we're
yeah,
down.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
we had mullets on. My roommate had Crocs on.
Good.
We had, yeah, it was
you're
fun.
Getting into it.
Tore it down.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the – so now I'm curious. How did you end up at NYU to kind of circle back a little bit? Because you had to audition for Tisch.
So I don't know if I've told anyone this. I didn't actually go for acting. I went for writing. And I did, which is funny because people will ask, I'm like, what studio are you? And I will.
That was my next question.
Yeah. I know Meisner's a thing, and that's usually what I say. But I went to NYU in the dramatic writing program, mostly because.
With our mutual friend?
With our
so
mutual
that's,
friend.
So that's where you guys met?
Yes, got yes, it. Of course.
I'm guessing you're still writing a little bit, or?
I am, yeah. I feel like all. Actors should write,
of course,
if for no other reason than sometimes you don't get the role that you want, so
you
should
write
it for yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly, creating content wherever you go. And I was a horrible high school student. I think I had like a C average, and I shouldn't have admitted that. I'm a anyway.
You're here now, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I went to my college advisor, and she was like, you're not going anywhere. You're like, she's like, you could go to her recommended schools
Arizona.
Were Arizona, which is a great school. These
Josh's
are great
sister went
my sister went there.
Phenomenal school. My friend
beautiful.
Went. Loves it.
Yeah.
And it's not, this obviously isn't to speak down on those schools, although she was. I, at that time, I was like, great. Those are school. I can do that. I would love to go to those schools. It wasn't until... though looking into like NYU, I was like, oh, that is like what I want to do.
Yeah.
And she was like, I had a feeling you were going to say that. Listen, that's what we call a reach school. And I was like, what's a reach school? And she's like, oh God. A reach school is when maybe slightly not likely to happen. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So it's not like I just try really hard and I get in. And she's like, well, you would have had to try for like 4 years.
You would, yeah. Her past the point,
yeah.
The trying part is up now.
And I was like, okay, I get that. But it says I can apply with a portfolio and like bits of my work. And she was like, yeah, so try that. And we'll talk about your reach school if it becomes a possibility. I got a pretty good SAT score. After that, I, you know, applied to NYU. I applied to Wesleyan as well to play football. Obviously, that didn't go over super well. And then once I wrote a script about my high school crush and like being heartbroken at the fact that I had never been like seen by them, whatever. I got accepted into NYU, and I remember my my uncle basically was like, accept it now before they realize they made a mistake and go in the fall and just don't tell anyone that you shouldn't be there. I was like, okay, great. So I went, did dramatic writing for 2.5 years and loved it. Love New York like a second home. But it was halfway through my junior year that I booked Ballers. And that was the first thing I had ever done. It was the first acting I had ever done.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time I saw you.
So, and that was kind of how it started. Yeah. It was
your first things with The Rock,
crushed it, and Russell Brand.
So the first scene. So I had acted in like theater stuff, and then throughout college I would do like short films and Friends because I would tell people I wanted to be an actor.
Right,
but. That was actually that scene where I'm sitting. You've seen it.
I see. Yeah.
The scene I'm sitting there and Dwayne is across in my house.
Yeah, they walk in with your posses all
and
there.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd acted on camera, and I was across from Dwayne, and he's such a sweet and like kind guy that it wasn't as stressful.
And he knew it was your first time too, right? Like he was.
No, I tried not to tell people. Oh, tried to be like, yeah. Crafty, I don't know what that is. Like, and again, I grew up around sets, so I knew like certain.
You knew the lingo.
I knew how to like make it
you
work.
Got by.
But certain things still to this day, I don't necessarily know how to do. But in that first day, it was really eye opening to see like the goal. Like, if that makes sense, you know how it'd be like if this is a sports podcast. But like, if it was your first season and you're walking into practice. And you see your idol, you see LeBron. And that's where I would like to get. And you're in the same room with him. He maybe passes you a ball. You start playing a bit. That was how it felt for me. Is I was like, this is super fun and cool. They say never to meet your heroes, but forget that. Dwayne is great. And meeting him was one of those things where I was like, okay, now I know what I have to do and how I have to act and what I have to sort of strive for to get where I would like to be.
That's
so
great. I mean, it's starting out. It's like, and now everyone else is, no offense to anybody else, now everyone else is easy because he is the biggest star in the world. The only, I think I would find a tough time being on there with, I think, because I always think about it, I go, wow, what would happen? You know, would I be shaking a little bit? Right. I'm sure I would. But with him, it'd be so different because the whole time I'd be like, damn, I just want this guy to rock bottom me through a fucking table.
So
you know,
funny. Right?
It's interesting. He's super busy. We had Sam Lerner on the show who was on your season as well. And he played Russell Brand's assistant on the show. And he was saying, he was saying that they filmed the entire show without Dwayne. And then when Dwayne is ready to film, then they get the scenes and film with him.
He's so busy.
Such a busy guy.
It's one of those things where you own a business and a brand, and he has to cater to so many different things. Not cater, but he has to sort of adhere to so many different rules and different things. And he will, he's also the EP of the show.
Right.
So he obviously has leeway, but when he is on set and when he does it, he's always plugged in, he's always kind, he's always focused. And that to me is like what I think is so great about him is he's doing a million things and he's passionate about every single one of them at any given time.
He made the transition from football to the WWF and now WWE. I mean, I think that's like, if you want to trace back to why the guy's so good, it's his level of commitment because he was, his dad was a wrestler and his dad's an all-time wrestler. Sure. But the transition from football to the WWE and for him to go from like playing on Miami, which is a great team, to him going to play then it'd be the top guy in the WWE, that level of focus and commitment that it shouldn't be that. All once you kind of figure out acting on camera, once you kind of let loose and you're comfortable with yourself and then you kind of just let you be you within whatever, script you're doing, then at that point, as long as you have the charisma that he has, the work ethic's always going to be there, and the drive to kind of get to the top. So for me, and people are like, wow, how did this happen? When did this happen? It's not surprising because it makes sense seeing him in every other facet of his life that he's, partaken in.
That's why it's so interesting to see actors that have been athletes or had athletic backgrounds, because they look at acting, and this is no disrespect to people who act for the art and the aspect from that angle of it always being that. People actors that start out with athletic backgrounds, I mean, look at it as this like task and this challenge, and they approach it that way head on and with such vigor that in a lot of cases they strong arm the entire industry by bringing on so many different projects, because athletes have this mindset of like,
I'm always on the go, always doing it.
I'm going to do it if I can, and if I can't, I'm going to try my best. And because of that, in an industry of people that are always looking for the next thing or the new source of content, they love it. So people like John David Washington and Dwayne, the people who have been athletes, they happen to be on the same show, but it's that idea of actors who have, know what it's like to go after it and really put your body and soul on the line.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many connective tissues between the two of those things. I think the only, like, the one distinction is that before you get on set, before you're with that team, before you've booked the job, that's when you are, like, by yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, like, the one before you can be in that team environment. Like, you have to be able to have that, like, that perseverance and that push through to, like, keep going until you book the next job.
Yes.
And then you're with the squad.
It's also like the athletes have like thicker skin too. Our acting coach actually mentioned to us, who's a former athlete himself, played quarterback at Harvard, that, you know, this is like the only industry where you can work your ass off. You know, you can practice as many times as you want and you still won't get the results you want, because at the end of the day, it's not up to you, but you have to have the thick skin, because if you lose a game, you come back at it and you try to win the next game.
Or if you don't even get invited to play, that's the hardest part that people know. And it's weird. Like, they didn't really prep us because I went to acting school in Texas. They didn't really prep us for the
rejection.
I grew up in New York. I was auditioning in New York. I was auditioning for The Changeling, you know, the Changeling. Yeah, I auditioned for, you know, a role. I auditioned to be young David Spade. I was close to getting that. And
you could have killed that.
And Grown Ups, right? Yeah. Yeah, I was just taller than David Spade when I was 12. That was the issue. That really was the problem. And then I was used to, the, you know, people saying no, thank you. I wasn't used to coming out here and people just not wanting to see me at all. And I'm sure, you know, that's like the toughest thing is like, hey, like, I'm down to come in. You're always game to come do it. And no one told us that when we came out here. And that at least is, but you have the thick skin from it. And once you can kind of get past that and move past that, then I think things are, you know, a little easier.
It's funny. I remember when I was very young, my dad would talk about Hollywood and say, I hope this isn't incriminating in any way, but he would say it's very much like high school. There you have your cool kids, you have your smart kids, you have the people that like rebel against what the norm is. And he was like, the harder you try to fit into any one of those, the harder time you're going to have. So when it came to like understanding rejection and not wanting to speak to people, it's because they don't know you yet. And they don't know if they want to gamble on you. Because ultimately, when you have no credits and you basically are telling people, I promise I'm good, I promise I can do this, they will more often than not say, right, but we have people we know who can.
Oh, big time.
So the sort of task that you have to rise to, the occasion you have to rise to, is A, creating and finding a platform that can showcase the best of your content, which is why I tell any actor that asks, just make content, whether it's setting up a camera, film it, put it on Instagram, or moreover than that, it's to talk to people and garner a sort of, you know, idea about you in such a way, which is why a lot of times people get frustrated that they're not auditioning or they're not in rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But the real, I think, goal is to just be a part of the system, which is why like people come from out of town and be like, what, where can we go? Like, what? And the best answer is like, just go out, go to restaurants, go to hotel lobbies. And,
yeah,
like,
it's
hang
so
out.
Tough.
Or it's like, who do you know now? Like, who are your friends that are here that you're, just visit them.
Yes.
Go out and go get a bite to eat.
And that's why when you come somewhere like LA and you look for those things, it tends to be, or you at least try to fit in that way, it tends to be more difficult than if you just try and experience the city and experience the industry in whatever way you can.
Exactly.
That it's not only more fun, but it also, I think, yields maybe a better result than...
Yeah, and I think another great point, you know, going along with all this is, You know, I think, and I don't think it's hard. I actually think people always ask, is it a hard, is it a rejection? I was like, it's not hard, because it would be hard. You know what would be hard? It would be a little hard if you were alone. And you know, and like when you have actors or even athletes and they give shout outs, like, you know, shout out to this person. Yeah. And it's like they're friends. You know, you have, you're in it because you're in it together. Whether someone's ahead or behind, we were talking before the show about my old roommate who's filming with Bryan Cranston in New Orleans now. And that's like 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8 steps ahead of where I am in my career. But you know what? It's dope that we, you know, it's, I mean, there's only happiness and joy in that, because it's someone that I used to share a room with for a year. Yeah. And there's like, you know, I know where he started from. And I know that, you know, we did it together. Just because he's a couple places ahead right now doesn't mean we're not still doing it together. Yeah. And there's that whole camaraderie thing. And so the worst way to do it is, I think it's a great point, is not to not necessarily fall in line, but not to just jump in and just be a member of the high school versus trying to be in different cliques and different crowds. And maybe because you could end up in the wrong crowd. And you know what? If you're in the wrong crowd, there is this such thing as like the wrong crowd. And obviously the bad decisions you may make from that. Or like you're not happy, or you're not really fitting in, and you're still trying and trying and trying, and you're like, damn, why won't I, you know, no one's noticing me in this crowd, because you're not meant to be in that crowd. Yeah,
it's funny. There is an inherent sense of pessimism, or the idea of which in Hollywood, that I think people attribute to the people that make up the industry or Hollywood. I hate that I keep saying the industry as if it's like a Star Wars villain, but
dun 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 d
Darth Vader. But love Star Wars. But it's not so much that these people or the people that make the shots are pessimistic so much as they're opportunistic. And they look at things as being an opportunity to make money, make art.
Yeah, capitalistic as well. I mean,
absolutely.
Right.
And I was watching this, I think it was the Hollywood Reporter that did this roundtable with studio executives. And one of them was this great line where they were like, how do you pick your next project like that that your studio takes on? And he goes, well, I think of what's going to make me $1 billion. Oh, and I was like, that means so many things. That means both. Is it IP? Is it going to be like something that starts with a low budget and then just makes $1 billion, like Paranormal Activity? And in just saying that, it speaks a lot to like how people can inherently think that that's so negative.
Because
the smaller things, they won't make $1 billion. No, but the idea behind it is because the movie, the smaller movie, the indie movie, may not gross $1 billion, but the people that made it after making that movie can get seen by the studio executive, and all of those people that made that movie can be asked to make that $1 billion movie.
Yeah. Right.
The opportunities come from the first job, which begets the second and the third and the fourth. So while, yes, it does seem like the indie original films aren't getting made, in a lot of cases, you're right, they're not, at least not at the rate we'd like them to be. But also, maybe they are being made, perhaps, and we're just not watching them as much. But the people that make those movies have been making them and are now moving on to these bigger, grander things. And they're taking their lower budget indie film expertise and applying it onto those movies and still making them phenomenal. Like, I mean, Taika Waititi is a great example.
Oh, yeah.
How his movies could be $5 or $5 billion, and they're always incredible.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I mean, if you can make, I mean, it's similar, like now we have like, you know, people come in and go, oh, this is like a cool setup. And I was telling you how it was in the bedroom. But before it was in the bedroom, it was in the corner of some other person's room. It was not on the show. Yeah. When we first started, like it was in some corner of some guy's room with equipment we didn't know how to use. And it was just like, you figure it out, right? And now, like if now you get to the point where it's like, we can do it on like a $2 thing or like, that's how it works.
Yeah.
And then you kind of build, you pick up and learn.
Yeah.
In a sense, like you're learning on set, you got to learn on the fly.
Yeah, which is great about you, because I feel like whether it was a $2 set or a $2 billion set, I feel like this would just be the same show.
Yeah. Oh, it, no, yeah. definitely.
The
no,
quality would be a little lower.
Quality a little worse, yeah.
You'd be like, what did you say?
We're still here. That's None fine.
So I mean, funny. Josh and I recorded an episode one time in an alleyway at 3 a.m.
In the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we were that desperate for time. We were like, we need to get
that
this
was
show.
One of, that was one of two times I knew that this would at least have some success was yeah. that because a lot of people would have said, nah, we'll just skip a day. Or one time where this little thing right here that I have to plug into my computer for the again, USB. Yeah.
We did a full episode without recording.
Full hour long episode without that plugged in. And I sat there and I go, guys, I forgot to plug it in. They were pissed at me. And they go, all right, let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Let's run it back.
Great. And it was your best episode yet.
Yeah, it was great. It was quicker. It was quicker. You know? Yeah.
Yes.
You did.
Yeah.
We had an hour long rehearsal process.
Exactly.
For the show.
We were ready. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
What are some, like, out of curiosity, what are some, like, visions you have? Maybe not like, oh, I want to play this or that, but, like, you know, some goals of where you think see things are going, yeah. things you're excited about in your own career that you want to kind of tackle.
I feel like that question is always, it's my favorite, but it's also the most, like, nuanced, I suppose. When people ask, what character would you like to play, what role? And I think the most accurate answer I can give is later, I'd like to play a character that I can sort of portray. I have two answers. I'll give you the first one. That I can portray, like, in a children's hospital, and I can be around people and incite or inspire sort of, like, the idea that anyone can do it. If yeah. that makes
like
sense.
Like a Patch Adams kind of character?
Yeah. Exactly. Or like, you know, like a superhero or something.
Yeah.
Or someone will recognize it and be like, oh, that's... You know, I didn't know that was something I could do or that something I could be. Because I remember being, when did Black Panther come out? That was 2 years ago. I was like 20, and I had went my entire teenage life not knowing that black people could be so sexy and cool and strong and powerful in that context.
And superheroes.
Hence why I was like, that's what I want to do for people who are younger than me. Let them know that that's an avenue in which they can traverse towards. Like, and if it means, you know, finding a new one or being one that was already created, as long as I can be that for someone, I don't really mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then beyond that, I'd love to swing a sword around. That would be really
cool. Yeah.
Dude, I know. I had that moment in Princess Bride. I'm watching that. I'm like, that is the some.
That's just, your favorite movie, right?
Yeah, it's like my favorite, for sure my favorite date movie.
Yeah, oh, that's a good date movie.
You know, I know right then and there, like, if that's that.
Oh, yeah, it's, I see what you said. It's your test movie where you're like, let's put this movie on.
Let's put this movie on.
I think it's kind of timeless. I think in 20 years, people will still watch that movie.
Oh, yeah, until they've remade it like 4 times.
Yeah.
I'd be bummed if they remade that one.
You never know. They could do it. Just get Taika Waititi to make it.
It's just the issue is there's no Andre the Giant anymore. You know?
You're right. There's aspects.
They got the Big Show, though.
Yeah. Ooh.
They got the Big Show.
But he doesn't have the accent. Anybody want a peanut? He needs the accent. You have to get the accent back. I mean, that's
well,
great.
Well, you can do the accent.
Nick could be his voiceover.
In the ADR studio.
Wait a voiceover minute. For
the Princess Bride.
You got me.
Remake. Funniest moment on set. You got one of those without divulging any names. This is to be honest, a question from y'all's mutual friend that he said,
really?
He said, bug him about that.
I would imagine that before you don't have to, it doesn't have to be from Booksmart, but I imagine just the filming of Booksmart, just
hilarious.
By nature of what the movie is, was hilarious amazing. Yeah.
Because it's all guys your our age, and then plus Jason, Olivia as well. Sudeikis is just there. So he's like, I look at that guy, I'm like, how old are you, man?
Yeah. He's, again, simultaneously 15 and however old he actually is, I won't guess.
Like, you're throwing water balloon condoms at each other.
See, well, that was funny. I probably have one I'm not thinking of, but when we did the water balloon bit, we didn't know what we were doing. Like, they would call us in one by one, and we were all hanging out. And I'm like, yeah. And we'd go, and they would just go, 3, 2, 1. I'm like, what? And they'd hit you with a balloon, and they would film it in the slow-mo, and it would be at the whatever. But I'd say, similar to that, my favorite story on set was, for Booksmart at least, was we were filming the water balloon section, which was the last thing we filmed, where we're in the hallway, and it's a seniors rule,
right?
And
like, school's out, kind of. Yeah.
And we have this basically unlimited supply of these water balloons. And we go to the stage room, we pull them out, and we start throwing them at people. And we have this basically just a big party on set. And we do it the one time. I'm like, oh, it's great. And then she comes in, and she's like, guys, I think we have to do it again. And I was like, you damn right we do it. And we went, and we did it again. We threw it. Everybody got balloons. And they were like, cut. And we kept going. And it was, but. And it, I think that, honestly, was the first time I had been like, wow, this is what it feels like to have, like, fun at your job and to like not work in like the traditional sense, but this is like why I'm so blessed and privileged to be able to do what I do.
Yeah.
Because my job is to scream and throw water balloons.
Yeah. And forget about the paycheck.
And for, right. it's
and
like,
meanwhile, hair and makeup's like, oh my god. Like,
yeah, that's you know, that was actually
the set dresser's like, gosh, darn it.
It's funny because sometimes you don't get it on the first day. I did this movie, Let It Snow, came out on Netflix.
Yeah,
and in the scene I'm in, or one of them, Halea Jones, who's another lovely actor, gets spoiler alert, milkshake poured on her head, and obviously, you only really get one shot at though. You can do water balloons and food a few times because no one's like, is that person wet? Like, is them? But this is a pink milkshake getting dumped on this girl's head.
Yeah,
who's spent like an hour or two in hair and makeup
and
already.
Hair and makeup. Yes, and we do it the one time, and Odea does it great. And they're like, oh, well, you kind of blocked her face with your arm. Okay, go back to hair and makeup. So we waited another 3 hours for it to go get dried, do the whole thing, come back in, and they do it again. And they pour it on her. And then we were like, all right, great, great, great. And they were like, all right, good, moving into coverage. And this girl sat in her pants in milkshake for another 3 hours while they filmed, like, can we just get a little in the cup? Yeah, good, 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 good. And they just more and more and more, and it would sit. And I'm sitting next to her, and as the day went on, I would just, like, move farther and
just
farther
inching
away.
Mason, back to one.
Exactly. But it was a great time. They're all great. She's a trooper. She's on Netflix's Lock and Key now, so
they're pumping that. They really,
that's a good show, man. Yeah, that is a good show. Have you watched Lock and Key? See, I read the comic book, so when it came time to watch the TV show, I was like, strap in,
all you're ready to go. Yeah,
and
it's great.
It's
great.
So good. It's so
we'll
nerdy.
Have to check it out.
Yeah,
definitely.
100%. Now, here's a special thing we do with all of our guests.
Oh, yeah,
we do something called a 2-minute drill.
Oh,
okay,
God.
So Toss right here is gonna throw questions at you, rapid fire questions. Yes or no's, fill in the blanks. You could elaborate as much as you want, or feel free to just be like, boom, that's my answer, and move on.
Yeah.
We had one guy go for 10 minutes and why he wants Charles Barkley to be president, and that was totally kosher. You're allowed to
totally kosher.
It's like almost like he knew we were going to ask that. So, yeah. So feel free, any elaboration you want. Floor is yours. We call timeout. It's not exactly 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay. I see. But the 2-minute drill. All right.
All right. It's just the clever name.
Let's do it. Yeah. No. It's
I don't
want to
brag.
It's witty.
Yeah.
It's witty. All right. First one. Just jump right into it. Harry Potter sorting house. Which house are you in?
I took this. I was a Gryffindor.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm a Slytherin.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, what? Aren't you a house? In your conversation with Beanie in the movie?
Time out.
Doesn't she say something about you being?
Yes. So, first of all, that was improvised by the one, Bea Feldstein. She was there. She was like, what would you find really sexy for us to like say? Like, what would be? She was like, oh my God, if, and I think we were talking, she was like, I think like something, anything Harry Potter related. So, action. It's like, Harry Potter, and I was like, oh, half Slytherin, half Ravenclaw. She was like, I actually am half Slytherin, half Ravenclaw. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. I didn't think of it. Then we were doing the press tour. It was up in San Francisco. Someone was like, what's your house? And I was like, what is my house? And they were like,
take the quiz.
I went outside and they were like, well, you don't know your house. You have to vote. So I did it right there in the car on the way to the next thing. I was like, oh, Gryffindor. Now I never have to.
You improv that half Ravenclaw, half Slytherin line?
So it was funny. A lot of it was.
That's a great fucking line.
It was one of those things where Katie Silverman, the writer, is so brilliant, would give us these amazing alts and we would use them. And then sometimes Olivia would be like, say this, and then we're going to trail off the camera. So you do whatever feels natural to like exit. And that bit where I'm like, I forget what I say. I'm like, all right, you stay right here. Don't move. Don't move. Yeah. You move? I feel like you're going to move. All right, don't move.
Yeah.
That was, she was like, just go. And I just did that. And again, part of her, what makes her such an amazing director is she takes those little nuggets of like what makes us us,
yeah,
and what makes us these characters, and she mixed them together. So Beanie loves Harry Potter. She loves Harry Potter. So it only would make sense that we would incorporate that in some
That's
way.
Awesome. So do we. We actually have a rule in the game categories that if you do, you know, you play categories before. So if you do like it's a double. It's if you do like what am I thinking of? If it's like round rocks, that'd be 2 points, right? If you do
like double, if it's a double word, grocery stores, Tom Thumb, you get 2 points.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So if you do like Severus Snape. It's 3 points because you get a Harry Potter. If Harry Potter reference is an extra, it's an extra point.
Okay.
Nobody likes to play with us. Yeah, no, it's not a popular
game. Incorporate the Harry Potter.
It's Oh, yeah.
Somebody would love that.
All right, time back in. We're back in.
Time in. All right.
Favorite restaurant in L.A.?
Oh, Jelena in Venice.
Nice.
New York?
Nice.
Dig in. You know, it's kind of like healthy. It's like healthier Chipotle.
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah,
it's my. You know what? That I don't know if that's my favorite so much as it's the one I go to all
the most.
The time.
Yeah.
Jelena's like, money though. Yeah. The meat at Jelena's top dollar.
Phenomenal. It is so good.
It's Nick's rival restaurant.
Yeah. I applied there when I first moved out here.
Did you really?
They didn't want to interview me, and I was like, oh.
I feel like you're not like
you're too nice to be there.
Yeah, not that they're not nice, but they're very like.
They're like, yeah, would you like to try the new kale that we have on the menu?
Yeah.
Everybody's got curly
hair. And Mason's like, yes.
Yeah. Bring it now. That and the bread.
My friend from Chicago, we went to eat there. And the server's like, hey, guys, like, you guys want to know the specials? And they're like, yeah. He's like, cool. I'll be back in a few to tell you. Just like really weird. And like, I used to be a server. Cool, and I was like, cool. I kind of get it. And my buddy from Chicago was like, what does that even mean? What's going on? Like, I want to know the specials like right now.
It's reverse psychology. It's just like,
all right, next one. Actor you really want to work with. That could just be like a right now because I know there's tons.
Yeah, there's a bunch in the past that I would have loved to work with. But as of right now, I feel such a pressure to answer at a quick pace. I would love to work with, I love Margaret Qualley. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I should list someone who's like older. Regina King.
Oh yeah.
She's make it happen.
Yeah. Please. Hey, Regina. Hi, Regina. Please.
Both great. Do you like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I loved
it. Do you like Watchmen? So good.
I love them both. It's such a good year, both for movies and television.
Money.
And it's just all entertainment. Video games, all of it.
I stalked your Instagram. I haven't seen Waves yet, but you loved Waves. And I have to go check that out.
I was very moved by Waves.
Okay, I've heard
You'll
great
get
games.
What I mean when you watch it.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, we could talk later.
Figuratively and literally moved by the way.
People would DM me and be like, oh, if you... Yes, there you go. Very nice. Good brand moment. They'd DM me, they'd be like, wow, you loved Waves so much. I was like... That's a word for it. You'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see. Watch the movie and then we'll talk about it.
Cool.
And we can talk about if love is the right word so much as like it certainly made me feel a lot of things.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Noted. Top of the list.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
A flight. Flight.
Really? Yeah. Why?
Or I go wherever I want, whenever I want.
Teleportation.
So teleportation's cool. That would be very cool.
That's mine. That's my pick.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we had a discussion before we came here.
It's not only instantaneous, like, I could just, if I wanted to go to Nick's house, I could be like, boom,
just
I'm
boom
there. But if I wanted to go to China, not right now.
Here's
the issue that he runs into. It's not about the destination so much as the journey, which is his flight pattern. Experience the sky.
You also can't really flex on people with teleportation. I mean, you can, but you can't.
Josh's superpower is definitely the weakest.
What's yours?
Why is that the weakest?
He wants to be invisible.
I want
to
be invisible.
Why do you want to be invisible?
Just so I could come into a room and be like, just like scare the shit
That's
out
why.
Of
I'm pretty sure every 13-year-old boy has a completely different reason for why they would be invisible.
No, I think that's the same reason that's for Josh.
What up, guys? What
it's the dude's room, my bad. Oh, sorry.
Get Out 2, starring Joshua Fisher.
Not a sequel to the original Get Out.
Nick, what was yours?
Telekinesis.
That's it. Did you see the movie Chronicle? My mind.
Yeah, of course.
That's the only reason.
But for me, it's like I want to be able to like be awesome at like every sport and just like just drain buckets in basketball and just not even have to worry and hustle people. Toss up a good point. You could be a gambler in the crowd.
Ooh. Yeah.
And be like, oh, my team's not covering by 2 points. Boom. 2 points. There you go, yeah. Covering.
It's a little immoral, I think that'd be cool. But you know, but honest.
But I'm a Slytherin. But you're so. A
Slytherin. Exactly. There it is.
Whatever it takes. True colors. Whatever it takes. Okay, this one's. There's a couple like the Harry Potter one. We ask everyone.
Yeah.
Most people are like, I've seen the movie. I don't know the houses.
Yeah.
We also asked this one: MJ or LeBron?
Ooh, that's actually really tough. Yeah. I love. This is going to be such a dumb way of saying this. I love Jordan's shoes more than I like LeBron's, but LeBron does a great deal for the culture now. Like
big time.
The schools that he does. And I just.
Good answer. Counts.
I probably have to say LeBron.
Yeah.
Count it.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll count it. That's bucket, yeah. Bucket, bucket. That's, goes that's in.
Like 90 respects. For Toss and 2 for yeah, me. There you go.
But like, I mean, LeBron's great.
Yeah. He's great. MJ, by the way. He's the GOAT.
But. Yeah.
Go to karaoke song.
Oh, Big Shot. But you had to be a
big shot. Yeah, Long Island's second favorite song, dude. Billy Joel.
What's the first one?
Me.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Fair enough.
You guys didn't see that coming?
No, I thought you were like talking about a real song.
Yeah.
Like a song.
Long Island's favorite son.
Oh, son.
Yeah.
I just misheard you.
Yeah.
Classic. Classic.
What am I, like a podcaster? You misheard me?
All right. Guilty pleasure TV show.
Love Island.
Love Island. The American version or the...
Oh, were you almost on Love
Island? So we actually, all three of us applied for the Love Island, for the United States version. Our friend worked for ITV at the time. And
you got the call
I guess they didn't want to pursue it as much as I did.
We all did video interviews.
Yeah, but I had like a pretty intensive interview and like big questionnaire and like... They were talking about being producers, and I was like, oh, this is getting interesting. And then they were like, no, I'm sorry. We're not going to move on. I guess I wasn't. I was too normal, probably.
Too normal? Yeah,
I'll take it.
It's not insufferable.
I'll take it. But no, the UK version is substantially better than the United States
I really
version.
Like
it. Substantially raunchier, right?
Yes.
They can show a lot more.
I will watch Love Island all day, every day. Even so much episodes fun. I've rewatched.
You're a big reality TV guy, just in general?
So not really. I only watched Love Island because Cody Co did a video on it, and I was like, oh, this seems stupid. And then I watched it, and I was like, this is incredible. And I watched it with my significant other at the time, and that became our thing.
Got it.
Every night we'd watch like a few episodes and then fall asleep to it, and then wake up and we have to go back. We have to go back.
Yeah.
Love.
Do you watch Euphoria?
Love.
Yeah, Rue's like in her bed all depressed watching Love Island.
She gets
Nick's
it.
Like, I can relate.
Yeah. It's a vibe. It's a whole vibe.
You watch, you see that Netflix show, The Circle? Have you seen that?
Oh, it's epic.
I've seen that show.
It's epic.
Did you like it?
I've seen that show.
I think it's awesome, dude.
I think it's fun. It's
awesome. My boy Shubi.
Shubi. Okay, I like Shubi.
They had one line in it where he, like the Italian guy is like, he's like, all right, who am I into? And it's like, all right, this person, no, he's the hottest girl. He was just so honest. Yeah, I was like, that's hilarious. Yeah. He's like, doing 90 on a freeway to turn into a hot pursuit. I was like, you can't write that.
All right, what's the best meal you can cook?
So if you would have asked me this 3 months ago, I'd have said a bowl of cereal. But I'm on Love, Victor now. I met this girl, Rachel Hilson, who's a phenomenal actress, and she's a phenomenal cook as well. I can now make some pretty good tacos.
Nice.
What's the meat?
Okay, listen. So they're not like, it's not good traditional tacos. There's like kale, there's bell peppers. I'm pescatarian at the moment, trying it. Why not? And I put like salmon in it, like tuna, like sometimes swordfish. Which sounds very because I said swordfish. Hey. It sounds like really sophisticated.
That's a good taco.
And I like take the tortilla and I like put butter on both sides and then put it in oil and I like cook them and it's so
How
good.
How long have you been pescatarian?
3 weeks.
Josh did it for what? Two years?
One year.
Wow. What'd you think?
It was good. I mean,
his breath always smelled like tuna.
Nice.
I had like my here's what I'd say to be careful with. My mercury levels were wicked high. So really? I ran into an issue there.
I didn't know that was an actual thing. I eat a ton of fish and I'm like, that's a fake thing. Mercury poisoning, nobody gets that.
Oh, yeah. My mercury was high. And then also my wallet was not high because of the amount of poke I was housing.
Yeah, oh, boy. Yeah.
You a big sushi fan?
I love sushi. And honestly, I love kale.
Okay.
Which is, do you know kale was not necessarily like, I'm from LA.
You mentioned kale like six times now.
Have I?
I wish we had a kale ticker.
Do you guys have kale that I can have afterwards? Really,
we're going to gift you that kale sweatshirt
do
that
it.
People have.
Do
the
it.
The Yale replacement
you
kale.
You won't.
Oh, we'll get you that, yeah.
I went to a restaurant yesterday, and I wish I could remember the name of it, because I think they actually have the best kale I've ever had.
Yeah.
They did like, it was like a garlic, like buttered Ooh. Kale.
And I would eat it.
It was really good.
In a heartbeat. It's so versatile. Well, again, do you know kale wasn't, it's not like people didn't eat it regularly. It was a garnish. And then someone, I guess, put it in their mouths. And
now everyone loves
it.
They're like, shit, I'm out of lettuce. What is kale?
Well, they invented the term superfood, whatever that means. And now people are like, oh,
there was
great.
Definitely some like high college student. They're like at the dinner, like, yo, I'm gonna eat this garnish.
Yeah. I'm gonna do
Which
it.
Is, I mean,
it was pretty
many,
good.
How many high thoughts have you had that lead to like?
Oh, Josh. Josh also, when he was high, ate dog treats.
That was bad.
What?
Yeah, we
Why
were.
Why did you do that?
We used to foster puppies.
Oh, that's incredible. Okay.
Because my roommate went to jail, and
he thought that would provide his community service hours to foster puppies.
He was like, "Oh, it's ridiculous." I mean, he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do this." I'm like, "Oh, what does the court say?" He goes, "Oh, I haven't like talked to them about it yet, but this is I'm gonna present it to them like as if it's like a project."
Yeah, you're going to jail.
Yeah, he's like, I'm like, just dude, go pick up trash for
a couple hours.
And he's like,
yeah.
He brings home these dogs, and we're like playing with the dogs, and we're super high. We went through this phase for like junior year where we blacked out every window in the apartment and would just crush blunts and Cosmos on Netflix from like Neil deGrasse Tyson, and we would just that's what we would do at night. And then so I was holding
Bonding.
These dogs. Yeah, exactly.
What kind of dogs? Now I'm like really invested in this
just
story.
Like, pay him the picture.
They're like black and white, like little puppies, like white paws, white snouts, black.
Stop.
They're so cute. There's two of them though, because obviously one wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And we're complete animals. We're juniors in college, and we're holding this one dog. I'm holding this one dog, and I have the treats in another. I'm like giving it the treats. And I'm like, yo, how funny would it be if I just ate one of these dog treats? And everyone's like, yeah, do it. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I pop one in. I'm like, yo, it's not that bad. Like, do another one. I was like, okay. And I do another one. And like an hour later, I'm like on the couch, like watching the Cosmos go and watching the show. And someone's like, yo, Fish, what's good? Because they call me in college. And I was like, what up, dude? And he's like, yo, like that bag is gone. And I like, sat there and like ate the bag, like
the horse intestines.
Oh,
and, like,
bad dude, yeah,
definitely not kale.
Not kale.
Dog treats.
Should
gotten you some kale chips.
I know, dude. I one time like see so the seaweed. I ate the seaweed packet.
I love the seaweed packets.
I ate it so fast. I was so high. I ate it so fast. I ate a silicone packet accidentally.
No, stop it. Yeah, stop it. Don't do that. That's not good.
And they ask you why your mercury levels are high.
Yeah, it's like fish. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Sir, you've been eating straight mercury for 2 years. No, it's fish. No, it's
not
it's
recommend
the, you,
that.
You ate a thermometer.
Ah, that's funny. Okay.
Superba food and bread. Yeah. That's where I went.
Oh. Superb food and bread?
Superba.
It's in Venice, right?
It's in Venice.
Yeah, it's on
Lincoln. You guys go to Venice a lot, huh? I'm writing that down right now.
Superba. It's like superb with
an A. Yeah, it's right across the street from Night Market.
Oh, like super bad without D?
Without the D.
Yeah.
That's great.
Superb with the A at the end.
There
or
it
super
is.
Bad without the D. Whichever you want.
Or Sue with perba at the end.
Super or bust.
That one's too complicated.
It's Italian.
Like, no, you went too far.
All right. What's favorite movie? I asked that like it was not a big question. It's such a loaded question.
The movie I've seen the most is Lady Bird. My favorite movie from childhood is Friday Night Lights. And then my favorite movie right now. I'm giving you so many answers.
No, those are good.
My favorite movie right now, honestly, is Black Panther. I could watch that at any
day. Is it still on Netflix?
Any day. Not a chance.
Disney Plus now, right?
Probably.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Such a good movie. That movie's epic, beautiful.
It made me so happy to see that. I was like, oh,
the music's so good in that movie.
So good. And then people are always like, oh, this and that and the third about the writing. I'm like, shut up, man. You see Michael B. Jordan kick that guy?
He was so swag in that movie, too.
So much. Oh,
the and tattoos. The goalie, like, yeah.
Oh, that yeah. was ill. That was so ill. Yeah, that was a good
it was
movie.
Awesome.
The kills.
I love the other two movies, too. I love
Friday Night Lights is all time.
And Lady
me,
Bird's
yeah.
amazing.
Lady Bird's great.
Lady yeah. Bird made me feel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember when I was in fourth grade, Friday Night Lights was hot. And I loved football. And I got in trouble, and my parents' punishment was a lot was telling me I couldn't play football the next season. And so when Boobie Miles was getting told that he can't play Oof, football, I like
that.
Cried with him. I was
you
like,
felt
I want to play football. Ooh,
yeah. That scene, Boobie, oh God.
Mm-hmm. That's that great. That's top football for me. That for right sure. behind
Remember the Titans. Yeah.
Oh, that's another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that that's what that yeah. is in reference to?
T.C. Williams, baby.
Wow.
My favorite Shoot. Movie ever.
With good reason.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Good yeah. hat, too.
Great yeah. hat.
You saw it. That was a you
I
scout.
Spotted the hat?
Yeah.
You nice. Really, good for me.
Yeah.
You did that.
It's a good I have one, a, one that. Of my a walls in my room is just snapbacks.
Oh, you're a snapback guy. Actually, we're all wearing
hats. We're all wearing hats.
We
yeah,
are no. all wearing
yeah.
hats.
Let's go. Hats
but yours is backwards.
It is backwards.
Dare to be different.
Against the grain.
Very discerning.
Yours is a
very
dad discerning. Hat.
Yeah, this is a papa hat I got.
Papa.
Papa. I found on the ground not that long ago. And
really?
I,
good
yeah,
good find.
Great like, snag.
Oh, you yeah. know, someone's missing that hat, though, Mason.
They threw it out their window. They don't get
they didn't
it.
Didn't
yeah,
want
it. It's for the people. They wanted him to have it. Destiny hat.
Meant to be. I shouldn't have admitted that I threw found this hat on the ground. Anyway,
yeah,
you're
whatever.
Repurposing clothes.
There it is.
Exactly.
I'm trying to save the environment. That's what
I love
doing.
It. Love
yeah.
it. Speaking of the environment.
Oh boy.
No, just
favorite.
This
favorite.
Do you believe in global? Whatnot?
This was Nick's addition. I want to give Nick his
yeah
his due diligence here. Favorite candle scent.
Oh, anything with like. Pumpkin. I sound like such a basic.
No.
Kale, pumpkin.
Pumpkin, Jelena.
No.
Love Island.
Pumpkin for sure.
Yeah. I'm a sweet candle scent guy.
Really?
Like
yeah.
the Leatherwoods, the like the really manly.
I
don't know if I
really?
Like them that much. Yeah.
If it's too sweet, I get headaches, and it like makes me feel like I'm like eating something.
I yeah. agree with you. I think the right amount of sweetness is pineapple. It's like
Does,
a little bit
yeah.
like it's a little
oh,
bit
Oh, tropical
sweet.
Things?
Yeah.
Like yeah. It's, yeah. Yeah, sea breeze.
Oh yeah,
something
yeah.
like that. That's
give it to me.
Yeah, can you say yeah. that directly into the mic? Sea breeze.
Sea breeze. Sorry. Didn't even need to.
That was perfect.
Wow. Oh. All right, favorite band.
Ooh.
The 1975.
Good. That's a good one.
Epic.
That's really
my
good
favorite band. That will be seeing them in May. Actually, can't wait. And
where are you yeah. seeing them?
At the Forum.
Nice. They're here at the Forum?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
yeah.
go, baby.
Yeah, I'm down. Oh, yeah. Fish is coming to the Forum in July. I'm stoked about that. Yeah.
That'll be phenomenal.
Yeah,
that'll
be a wicked cool show.
Not yeah. not you. Fish
not
the band.
Me, the band.
You will also be there.
For
will
a
also
second. I was like,
I will
was
also
that?
Be there. No, and then the following night I'm going to Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer at Dodger
wow.
Stadium.
That's a stacked lineup.
That's
yeah, that's
nuts. I didn't even know. How's Weezer doing now?
They came out with a full cover album last year.
It's a cover.
Check it out.
Oh,
it's really
yeah, it
good.
Of their own music.
No. yeah. This is Weezer covering.
Weezer.
This is Weezer's cover of Pork and Beans.
Like, shut up.
This is Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
That old
covered
classic.
By Weezer.
All right. Go to drink.
Something really
matcha,
stupid,
right?
No, yeah, something real hard. But probably vodka cranberry, just because it's really easy and I can get it without the vodka bit. I don't drink a ton. I like to think I could have fun without it.
Yeah.
So I just was like, if I can have fun and not throw up afterwards, then
I'm at the point where it's like. If I don't enjoy the taste, I'm definitely not drinking it.
Yeah.
So it's like something like yeah. vodka cranberries actually taste pretty good.
Mm.
Cranberry juice is good.
But there is a point, I think, that we all experience where it's like, it doesn't matter what it tastes like. As long as it does its job mm-hmm. and makes me feel good, then I'm going to drink it. But I feel like I've graduated from that.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, I don't know if I even drink
need,
much of it anyway.
Yeah.
But
I don't need an alcohol beverage to dance.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely not. See, that's a little self-advertising. I don't need to drink. I will dance with you either way, sober or not.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, you specifically. Don't worry.
Thank you.
The Mason Gooding story.
All right. We mentioned this one earlier. One celebrity candidate to be president and his running mate. Or her running mate.
I was gonna say Regina.
This doesn't
King.
This doesn't have to be like Regina King's really great answer.
Great answer.
Regina King, and then her running mate can be Dwayne Johnson.
Nice.
I would say the other way around. But I don't know either of their political views. So I'll start with Regina because I love her.
Safer pick, yeah.
And then we'll back up with Dwayne.
Yeah, he's the muscle. Yeah. I like that. That's a good one.
What's your Josh? Yours is
mine's Dwayne as the president and John Cena as the VP.
We would not have any problems. He would fist fight our problems.
Exactly. Just the old fashioned way.
Yeah. Just fighting fires with our fists.
Tag team champs, bro.
Yes. Please.
Love it. That's it.
That's it. And that's our 2-minute drill. And that is an amazing episode with you, Mason. Hey. Dude, that was one of the fastest I've seen an episode fly time wise. That's really amazing.
That was so much fun.
I had a question. Actually. Yeah. Did you do any of the surfing in Volleyball?
Yeah. Okay. So, no. Hunter Jones did the intense surfing where I'm turning.
But you did a little bit, right?
I did the bits where I'm like paneling out, and then I like stand up because they gave me lessons. They gave me like 8 lessons to learn how to surf.
And that was your first time surfing?
And that was my first time surfing, despite being from Los Angeles. And after the 8th one, they were like, okay, so we're going to get you a stunt double for the intense stuff. And I was like, okay. And they're like, but you can do the stuff where you like paddle. I was like, all right.
Let's go.
I succeeded. Let's do this.
You play a pro surfer, you got to get out there.
I got to get out there a little bit.
Michael B. Jordan to tell a story in Rocky, or Sylvester Stallone tell a story about Creed. And you see it. There's a video of him where they're watching and he's like, yeah, he's going to have to take a punch.
Yep.
And they knock Michael B. Jordan
and
the fuck out.
Knock him on his ass, which is, it makes for a great shot.
Yeah.
Great scene. Yeah. So it works.
And then in Love, Victor, you get to play some. Do you hoop on screen?
Oh boy, you should have asked me this at the very end. If I'm taking up to
No, good.
Then let me get comfortable. No, I did get a bunch of. So I can't play basketball to save my life. I was the kid that would. I was fat. And I would go in and I'd foul the other kids. And then I'd sit on the bench. And I'd be like, it's a good game. Hi, Mom. Like, glad you drove out here for this. So when it came time to do this, it was funny in the beginning. They were like, you know how to play basketball, right? And I was like, I can pretend. And they were like, no, we need you to actually like play. So me and Michael, who plays Victor, we every day for like 2 months got together and we'd play basketball. He had like no basketball expertise and would like do the, you know how you can tell someone like has been playing basketball because they lay up by like kicking their leg. like you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. It becomes very apparent very quick.
And that was like where we started, where he started. And then as time went on, putting balls between the legs and doing the thing. I have a photo on my Instagram. I could dunk a tennis ball now. I get right up, boo, but I can't dunk a ball yet.
I think it lower the rim for you, right?
So
no, but he doesn't want that. He wants to get it.
They were like, if we lowered the rim, I was like, don't you dare.
Don't you put baby in a corner. I'm getting up there.
I did contemplate getting a smaller ball, but lowering the rim, a shot. Maybe for season 2, ideally.
Because you would progressively have gotten better as a basketball player.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'd buy it.
Exactly. I would hope so. It's in line with my character.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. We're always dunking. Progressing. Yeah.
If you ever want to keep working on your skills, we definitely hoop every now and then.
Oh, for real?
No, he's legit. Yeah, Nick's he's a good athlete.
Oh, for sure. It's funny. A bunch of people have said, like, oh, you play basketball? Oh, well, you got to come play my league. And I'm like, well, I'm not trying to get my ankle.
Oh, we don't
broken.
Do leagues. We'll just go out to, like, the Venice courts.
Great.
Or, like,
I can do that for sure.
Venice, you know.
Venice. Yeah. We'll go to Jelena and eat kale.
Yes. No, we have a date. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Awesome stuff. Great episode, Mason. Seriously, thank you so much for coming
in, man.
Thank
you for having me.
We had a total blast. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Do we know when the premiere?
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah, we just found out, like, an hour ago. It's 1:30. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, my roommates are waking up right now.
There it is. It's morning. Good morning, Los Angeles. Yes, June of 2020. Love
Let's
Victor
go.
Will air on Hulu exclusively.
On Hulu.
And you can watch it there. And can't wait.
Everybody better check that out.
And
Hulu,
then you can go watch
Victor.
Booksmart afterwards.
On the same site.
Because the face of Hulu is Mason Gooding.
Or you can watch Booksmart now on Hulu.
Yeah.
In preparation. There's also a lot of anime on Hulu. Check that out too. That's what I'm saying. You got to plug it where you can.
One of our roommates is a huge anime guy.
Turns out Hulu just puts content on their website. That's like what they do.
Yeah, I know. Who would have thought, right?
Not me.
It's a good business model.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, it's the way to get it done. And the fans out there, swinging a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free drag both feet inbounds, and hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because it's free.
Because they're free. Hey! We out you. We love you.
That kid.
Puts it up.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off.
Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.